upon our lives. You will clothe us, O God, with fire from heaven. Your name shall be glorified. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everybody say amen. Amen. Now, I don't intend to keep you too long tonight. I'll just share a little bit with you. And then we'll pray and release the anointing upon your life. And I believe the anointing that you receive today will catapult you to greatness. Amen. Somebody is stepping to greatness today. Amen. Who is that person? If you're the one, shout hallelujah. Open your Bibles, please, to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4. And verse 33. The Bible says, we've had it read again and again, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Please repeat after me, and great grace was upon them all. Let me ask you, I'll ask you one or two questions. How many of you want the great grace of God to be upon your life? Okay? If you want it, come on, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is when you are in the place of divine assignment, doing exactly what God has instructed for you to do, that's when you connect great grace. There's grace to carry out the assignment that God has given us to do. You see, if you look at this scripture, it was in the process of they giving witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that great grace was upon them. And I'd like you to know something. Now, let me repeat that. It was while they were giving witness and testimony of Jesus Christ with great power. Look at that. He said, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So while they were giving witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, while they were demonstrating to the world that Jesus is alive, that Jesus saves, that Jesus heals, that Jesus makes a difference, that Jesus can change your life, that Jesus can put laughter on your face, Jesus can transform your life. It was while they were doing that, in the process of doing that, which was the will of God for them, that was where great grace was upon them. Remember, Jesus told them, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures. Am I correct? Talk to me. Am I correct? He told them to do it. And they went forth. If you compare this scripture, okay, put your finger here. Let me, I didn't intend to read too many scripture. I just want to drop one or two words. And then we pray. So we release, the anointing, for, to fulfill the purpose of God. Go to the book of Mark. In the book of Mark, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, in Mark chapter 16, all right, in verse 15, it said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That was the plan of God for them, the will of God for them, the purpose of God, and that was the assignment that God gave them. He gave them the assignment to preach the gospel, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know all that follow. He that believes and baptized shall be saved. You know, this shall follow them that believe. You know. Now, go to verse 19. So then, after that the Lord had spoken unto them, was received unto heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Verse 20. And they went forth. Obedience. And preached everywhere. They stayed on the assignment that God had given them. And while they were doing that, the Lord was working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Great grace. Can somebody say great grace? Because it's the presence of the Lord that guarantees great grace. So while they were doing what God commanded them to do, he was present with them to ensure that they were enveloped with great grace. If you hook this up to what I read to you in Acts chapter 4 verse 33, as they witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ to the whole world in power, the power of the Holy Spirit, great grace enveloped their life. Now hear me, how many of you want great grace to envelop your life? Then you must witness to the world that Jesus Christ is alive. Can somebody say he's alive? Now somebody may say, ah, Baba is coming again. You know, every picture of him is gospel. You have to preach and preach and preach. Yes, you are correct. But let me take you a little deeper. I asked you yesterday that when you're coming today, you must bring anointing oil. You remember that? And that you must bring the instrument that represents your job or your profession. Do you remember that? I can hear some murmuring. You didn't remember. Okay? And I remember I said, if you're a lawyer, bring your wig. If you're a jotter, if you're a journalist, bring your jotter. Bring your pen. Because we're going to anoint you. Now listen. Because in witnessing the resurrection of Jesus Christ to the world, it is not just in word and in the verbal form. That place where you are, that office where you are as a banker, that profession where you are as a lawyer, that place where, that school where you are as a teacher, that place where you are as a politician, as a believer in Christ, you are the ambassador of Christ, and everything you do in that place must witness to the resurrection of Jesus. Everything you do must demonstrate that Jesus Christ is alive. Can somebody say he's alive? As a teacher, the way you teach the students, the way you relate with them, the way you interact with them, your whole life should be a message of the gospel that adorns the gospel of Jesus, that makes the gospel of Jesus attractive, that makes everybody to know that indeed, from the way this man is operating, from the way this man is walking, from the way this man is functioning, we know that he is a disciple of Jesus Christ and is telling us that Jesus Christ is alive. When you are doing that in your calling, in your profession, in your job, in your duty, then great grace will be upon you. Let somebody say, I receive great grace upon my life. Several professions are represented here today. The medicals, the military, the professionals, the bankers, probably a couple of politicians in the house, even students. We are to witness the resurrection of Jesus Christ, not just in word, by the way we live in that place. If every believer in this nation today will stand up for Jesus and demonstrate a real Bible standard Christian living, this nation will have changed a long time ago. If everybody that occupy public offices and claim that they are born again and claim that they are believers demonstrate indeed the Christian life the way it should be demonstrated, the nation will have changed. I even discovered that in the political class today, let me take that as an example, the worst behavior among them are those who claim to be born again. Now we mention him. Because we are not rejoicing in anybody's trouble or problem. But how come you meet with a man in position of authority and you, before you say Jack Robinson, he's speaking in tongues? I'm talking of my experience. He's prostrate on his floor, praying and crying to God. And he's quoting the scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And it's the same man looting a treasury with proof. Now hear me, what does that man want to say with his word to his colleagues that are not saved, that are even Muslims, or that neither believe in anything? What does he want to say? And it is why you occupy that office with dignity, and you are doing exactly what you should do as a believer, living right, doing right. That is when the envelope of great grace comes upon your life. Don't we know that among the worst people to go into business partnership with today are those who claim to be born again? How many of you know what I'm talking about? If you know what I'm talking, if you know it by experience, wave your hand. Okay? I went to dedicate one of my son's house today at 12 noon and come and hear his story. He doesn't live in this country. He lives in America. So he depends on bro to help him build a house. And he said at a point he was wondering, my land is not a swampy land. It's not a place you have to reclaim. How come that so much money is going in and nothing is coming up? And it is bro. And it's okay. And well, all right, it's our brother. They will still speak on the phone. And after concluding their discussion on the phone, they will see bro here. We say, bro, let's pray, so that the work will move with progress, with speed. And they will pray, they do everything Christian. And nothing was moving. Until his mother-in-law stood up and said, look, I don't want you to waste your money. I'm going to take charge of this for you. It was only when the mother-in-law stood up that the building began to rise. And the building was finished. Eventually, bro came to apologize and say, you know, I'm sorry. You know, it's really not my fault. It is the boys. And he confessed that some of the things that, quote, he gave him was overquoted by 300%. Bro. Sis. Now listen to me. Do you think that if that brother, that other brother that was sending money and the money was being swallowed, he has a bigger project to execute, will he consider that brother again? And you see, when if he had done it right, he will have received grace to handle something bigger. He will have received grace to rise to another level. It was in the process of day witnessing the resurrection of Jesus, showing that look, Jesus is alive and he's made a difference in our lives. In the process of doing that, great grace was upon them. Lift your hand and say, I receive great grace upon my life. Now, thank God we have received the finest of teachings in this meeting. Powerful prophetic word. Profound insight into the scripture. You buy the tapes, you look at your note and put them inside you. But then it is now your responsibility to go out there, not only to talk it, but to live it, to demonstrate it by your life, that Jesus Christ is alive. I'm his ambassador. I'm his representative. I'm going to handle this matter as Jesus would have handled it, were it to be physically, literally on earth and taking my place. Can somebody say amen? Amen. When you do that, great grace will flow. But wait a minute. Pray in tongues. Bind and loose. Quote the scripture, and you are stealing somebody else's money, and you are doing that which is not right. Very soon, you'll be caught, You'll be disgraced. And where there is grace, there is no room for disgrace. There's no room for disgrace. You will never be disgraced in all your life. Amen. Lift your right hand to God. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe your word. I will never be disgraced in all of my life. I receive great grace upon my life. Can somebody say amen? Sometimes some news you are hearing, I'm not even just talking about what you read in the newspaper, something that come to you are so unsettling, so disturbing, that what has become of living for Jesus? What has become of adorning the gospel, beautifying the gospel, demonstrating the gospel? What has become of it? And it is in the process of that that great grace will come. So lawyer, do it like Jesus will do it, and great grace will flow. Teacher, teach them like Jesus will teach them, and great grace will flow. Contractor, execute it like Jesus will execute it, and great grace. Go demonstrate, go witness it, go witness him, go tell the world you are his disciples. Not just with words. Yes, by all means do it with words. By all means quote John 3:16. By all means quote Romans 3:23. By all means quote Romans 6:23. Quote all you want to quote. Oh yes, quote all the words you want to quote. But remember that your life is the force behind your word. Why your words weigh in ounce, your life weigh in tons. So as you bring the instrument that represents your profession and calling, and you connect grace, be determined, I'm going out there to represent you. If as a journalist they bring you money to assassinate somebody's character, oh boy, they do it. They do it. Or to distort a story, or to do something. Remember, you're a witness of Jesus. And do what is right, represent him worthily. Witness him. Tell the world the story of his death and resurrection with your life, not just with your word, with what you do. Let your life beautify the gospel. Let your life testify to the fact that Jesus Christ is alive. And it's in the process of doing that, great grace, favor will flow. Now you're caught stealing another man's money. You are taken to court. And you are praying that you won't go to jail. That prayer will be answered while you are inside the jail. While you are serving your jail terms, God will answer the prayer. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus. They witnessed it. They demonstrated it. They told the world that Jesus is alive. Now, banker, go to the bank and do it. Now, the other day, I think it was 2 days ago, some journalists pounced on me in the office there. I mean, they were interviewing me. We're good friends, and thank God for them, and the Lord bless them. And then they said, a story broke in Lagos. What's your opinion about this? They were putting words in my mouth. And somebody stole money in the bank, stole money, and then went to buy a generator worth millions and donated it to the church. What do you say to that? I said, well, if I have a congregation of over 10,000 people, how will I know the detail of every man's life? All I will do is teach them on the altar how to live, what to do, what the word of God says, and leave them to live it out. How can I successfully scrutinize the life of everybody and know what to do in your place of work or what to do in the bank? The other day, this was a pastor. He was working somewhere and was the secretary of their cooperative union there. And when they contribute money, he was to take the money. It was his duty to put the money to the bank. He must put 50,000 naira to the bank every week. And they put him there because he is a believer and a pastor. So they put him there. And for years, they didn't check anything. And the man would put 5 naira and return a teller. How he did it, mommy, you remember? Return a teller for 50 naira to the office. 50,000 to the office. 5 naira and 50,000, are they the same? And the people didn't even, the people didn't care. The pastor is in charge of their money. He's the pastor of a Pentecostal church. Pastor, everybody love him, everybody like him. Pastor, pray for us. So something happened and they needed to get the money. And they got to the bank, the place was empty. And the evidences were traced to this man. And they said, before we will do anything at all with you, we need to find a spiritual leader that we respect that can address this case and report it to him. Among them, Muslims. Among them, agnostics. Among them, people who don't believe nothing. The big establishment and then a department there. And all of them looked up to him, pastor. And they said, we will report this matter to a man of God that we respect in the land. And they came to me. I said, it's not possible. But call the man. We investigated the thing. Not only was it not possible, it was true. Okay, produce the money. He had eaten the money. And the thing had been, so each time he put 5 naira there and went home with 50,000 naira minus 5, he spent the money. And the thing had accumulated for about 5 years. And they needed their money. Now, wait a minute. Now, would you blame a Muslim among them if he refused to come to church? Of course, the man lost everything, even his job there, because even though it was a union thing, the establishment got to know. He just lost everything. It became a reproach. He met with disgrace rather than grace. Why? He did not witness. Now, mind you, from their testimony, this man will preach like parrot to them, preach anything and quote the scripture, but he didn't witness. He didn't represent Jesus. We all know that our lives speak louder than our words. He didn't. The people were disappointed. How to speak to their representative, Muslims, people who don't even believe anything were there. And thank God some believers were there too. And how to speak to them and talk to them. Go to that's your office. That's your bank. That's your community. That place of assignment. I know that God has planted you there to be his representative, his witness there. Not just with word. Do it with word by all means, but do it with your life. And while you do that, great grace will be upon you. Let somebody say, I receive. Great grace. It doesn't matter how much we prayed on you. It doesn't matter how much we have anointed you and prophesied on you. If you do not witness, if you do not exhibit, if you do not demonstrate, if you do not proclaim with your word, with your life, the resurrection of Jesus, that he is alive, he's able to do all things, he has conquered death, he has conquered sin, he has conquered hell, he's conquered the grave, he is the Lord of all. If you do not witness it, all the praying, all the prophecy won't work. It will only work as you stand doing exactly what God said we should do. These people, they were doing exactly what God told them to do. You know, they weren't called Christians originally. Jesus didn't call them Christians. Christian, being called a Christian, that was a nickname. They look at them and say, these guys behave like Christ. So they are Christian. What a testimony. They got to a place, they said, these people that have turned the world upside down, they've come. The world was upside down before they came and they turned it right side up. By their lives, by their word, by their testimonies. And God wants each one of us to do that in every sphere of life. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, he said, ye are the salt of the earth, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set upon the hill that cannot be hid. He didn't say ye are the salt of the church, you are the light of the church. No, salt of the earth, light of the world. The whole place is full of darkness. The Bible says, behold, the earth shall the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be risen upon you. So in the midst of darkness, you are shining bright. You are making a difference because of the great grace of God upon your life. Say, I receive great grace to make a difference. So when you go to that office, thank God, Monday is a public holiday. Go back on Tuesday with a determination. You know that this place is full of darkness. I am the light in this place. The carrier of grace has come. The salt has come. The light has come. I will do exactly what Jesus Christ will have done in this place if you were to be in my position. That's what I'm going to do. I'm his representative. I'm his ambassador. I'm his witness. I'm here to demonstrate to everybody that he is alive. Let somebody say, he's alive. It was in the process of they doing that, a great grace was upon them. The church in Nigeria, we need to call ourselves back to biblical Christianity. It's been said that Christianity in Nigeria is kilometers wide, but just like an inch deep. We need to go back to it. If every believer in this nation, there are millions of us, if we will stand out to witness Jesus Christ as we should with our words and with our life and make a difference, we will save this nation in a hurry. But we compromise. We say it and we do a different thing. And the world that we're dealing with, they don't take us seriously. Because we know that we're living in a world of dichotomy. What we say is different from what we do. We need to get out of that and then know that our words, our life, our work, how you do your work. Now, by all means, now, you employ the secretary, you sit beside the computer, God bless you, young lady. You were employed in that office to pray and speak in tongues and read the Bible. You read that at home before you come to the office. You speak in tongues by putting your finger on the computers and do the letter excellently, perfectly. You present it to your boss. He doesn't even need to proofread again. Every I is dotted, every T is crossed, everything is excellent. And he can rely on it, he can append the signature and send it out, and will not suffer any damage. You're a witness. You're a witness. You're bombarding a man with scripture. With scripture. You come late to work. You are irresponsible in handling your assignment. They give you a letter to type. The thing is upside down. Every line there is a mistake. And when they are looking for people to fire, you'll be number one on the list. There won't be grace to cover you. It doesn't matter how much you speak in tongues. We need to wake up. That the Christian life means we should be better stewards of the grace of God more than they out there in the world. If you are in charge of running a school, you run it so well that the school will win all the laurel, and then you make the money, you stretch the money to you. You are a better manager of the economy of the school than any other person out there. Who will think of replacing you or removing you or sacking you? There will be grace upon your life and favor because you are witnessing and demonstrating that Jesus Christ is alive. Can somebody say he's alive? He's alive. Let me hear you. Let me hear you. Carry Christianity, carry your Christianity to your place of work. Not just your Bible. Carry the grace to your place of work. Secretary, carry it to the computer thing then. Musician, carry it to the place. When we talk of grace, we talk of charisma. We talk of excellence. We talk of beauty. We talk of order. That's what grace is all about. I mean, you talk of being graceful, being gracious. You talk of first class, man. We quote too much of the scriptures. And many times we live far, far below the scriptures that we are quoting. Let's balance it up. Let me tell you, anybody, let's balance it up. He's not hearing you. Tell him again, he's not hearing you. A Christian brother runs a farm at the airport in Lagos, International Airport. I'll soon close them. The Christian brother. And something happened that was very instructive. I was returning from a trip from the US, and then they provided us service at the airport. And one of his boys came, "Oh, daddy, you're welcome." They helped me pack my stuff. And then I put my hands in my pocket. I took some money out and I gave him. I said, "Bless you. God bless you." In America, that's no problem. In America, you go to the restaurant and they serve you. You have to put a tip on the table, depending on the quality of service you had. A waiter helps you, a porter helps you push stuff. That's part of the culture. So I gave that man, I saw he was a bit hesitant in taking the money. But because it was coming from me, my God, he took it. So later on, my car was about to move. He came and he said, "Excuse me, daddy. I think you go to talk to my boss that you gave me that money." otherwise he will fire me. I said, really? He said, yes, daddy. He said, because there is a policy of our company that we just be satisfied with what we are paid. I will not collect anything from anybody. But because it's you, I said, okay, bring me my money. I'll see your boss. He's my son. So I called him on his mobile. Unknown to me, he saw him collecting the money. And he made up his mind he was going to fire him that day. So I just called him. And I said, hey, son, I wanted to give your man this money. And he came back to me and returned it. And said, there is a policy of your company. I said, that man had been very, very good to me. You are the chief executive. So this is for your full knowledge. I want to bless him. He has served me well. So oblige me. And he bowed. And he said, daddy, that's okay. He said, I saw it. And I would have sacked him today if he didn't come back to me. So now I called him. I said, come, listen. I mean, you travel all over the world. You travel to America and this. And he said, yes, sir. He said, but corruption are because we're endemic in Nigeria that I've decided to join them in drawing the line. We put whatever they need, we packaged it in their income. It's good enough for them. And we laid it out as a rule. You don't extort from our clients. You don't take anything. And even if they give to you, you refuse. And for breaking the rule of our company, we're going to terminate this employment. I said, oh. And I was so impressed. And I prayed for him. And I said, God will bless you. God will increase you. Let's fight this corruption thing together. In what way are we going to do it? The best people to fight corruption in this nation is the church. And let's deal with it in our personal lives and in your various places of work. Know that you are representing Jesus there. Can somebody say amen? Amen. I'm going to anoint you today and grace will come upon you. Amen. You will blossom. Amen. You will prosper. Amen. God will establish you. Amen. Whosoever comes against you in that place will fall for your sake. Amen. But hear me. You must stand on the platform of righteousness. When this oil of grace comes upon you, everything you touch will blossom. Amen. Everything you touch will prosper. Amen. Grace, this grace will multiply. Amen. Your finances will multiply. Amen. Your silver will multiply. Amen. Your gold will multiply. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. But remember, God will not bless unrighteousness. So there, how many people in the whole of this house today, you join me and say, excuse me, daddy, I make up my mind, I'm going back to my place of assignment to witness to the resurrection of Jesus, not only by my word, but by the life that I live. I want to stand under the canopy of grace. I want to position myself and testify to the world that he is alive. If you're like that, stand on your feet and join me. We've gotten to a point in the Pentecostal circle now that we need to balance our heavy theology of prosperity, victory, dominion with a practical application of the word in godly living. If you didn't have your oil, you can go get it. You are permitted. I hope they have enough around. All right, because I can't come around and anoint everybody one by one. But the oil of grace will come upon you. But first and foremost, I want you to rededicate your life to God. Lord, my life will speak for you. Not just my mouth. The way I do my work will speak for you. The way I relate with them that are without, it will speak for you. The way I relate with brethren will speak for you. My honesty, my integrity, my truthfulness. Lord, I rededicate my life. I recommit my life to be your ambassador on earth, to be your representative on earth, not to compromise. Yes, here am I, Lord. I will do your will. I will witness to the resurrection of Jesus. I will witness to the fact that he is alive. Here am I, Lord. I rededicate my life. Where I have missed it in the past, dear Lord, forgive me and have mercy upon me. All the heavy teachings, ministry, impartation, prophetic grace that I've received during the course of this meeting, I will translate it into practical reality. I will be your ambassador. I will be the light in the midst of the darkness of this world. I will be the salt of the earth. I promise you, Lord, I receive your grace to do it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. 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 In Jesus' mighty name we pray.